This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Another executive order signed at the White House by President Trump. It tells agencies to identify which agency functions or agencies are not required by law. And it says no more than one employee should be hired for every four workers leaving. An American, Mark Bogle, held in Russia since drug charges in 2021, has been freed, says the White House. ABC's Patrick Reval.
Fogle's case was known to reporters. He was one of those Americans who was believed to have been seized by Russia over the past few years to be used as a bargaining chip. I think clearly the timing of his release now is notable.
The president suggested today he wouldn't withhold U.S. aid to Jordan or Egypt if they don't accept more Gaza refugees. He met with Jordan's King Abdullah. Egypt's president has postponed a trip to Washington indefinitely, say Egyptian media. Public schools in Philadelphia will be closed on Friday so students and educators can celebrate the Eagles' Super Bowl win. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Grant County Sheriff Craig Rukoff reports the passing of an officer. Grant County Correctional Officer Dylan Bellamy died Saturday after being struck by a motor vehicle while walking along the highway near Mattoon, Illinois. Dylan joined the Grant County Sheriff's Office in December of 2023. He was also a member of the Army National Guard and was in Illinois for his training weekend with his unit, which is based out of Mattoon. The accident is still under investigation. To assist Sheriff's Office staff, peer support team has been activated and a grief counselor is being made available for additional services. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed a second pediatric influenza-associated death in the state Friday. According to health officials, the death occurred during the week of January 26 to February 1, months after the first confirmed pediatric death in September. The Department of Health Services has been warning residents of higher flu activity this winter and recently saw the highest number of flu-related hospitalizations in a week since January of 2018. Officials also say flu vaccination rates are down this year. Though cannabis isn't yet legal in Wisconsin, classes on the cannabis industry are being offered at one UW campus. UW-Platteville began online cannabis education certificate programs this semester. The classes are presented through a partnership with national cannabis curriculum provider, Greenflower. The lessons touch on such topics as the business of cannabis, cannabis healthcare and medicine, and how to grow the plant commercially. Students can gain experience in pot growing by practicing with hemp or similar plants. Greenflower says demand for the courses is high at the 60 schools nationwide offering them.
The Bucks get beat by the Warriors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled but came up short to Golden State, 125-111 in favor of the Warriors. The loss came one day after the Bucks had beat the Clippers on Sunday. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Thought overall our guys fought. They hung in there. I thought we were playing on tired legs. You could see that. You know, the only one that looked fresh was Dame in a lot of ways. He was aggressive. But, you know, it's a combination of 2 weeks home, 2 weeks, and now we leave back tomorrow. So we knew this was coming. Not a lot we can do about it. Hopefully we can muster up enough energy and rest and play this last game before we get our real rest.
The Bucks in Minnesota tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. Giannis Antetokounmpo's now missed 6 games with that calf muscle injury in his left leg, and he's going to be out for the NBA All-Star game this weekend. College Hoops, 18th-ranked Marquette hosts DePaul tonight. Number 16th-ranked Wisconsin at Purdue this Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. Winter weather advisory tomorrow and tomorrow night for snow showers, total accumulations of 3 to 6 inches. A high tomorrow near 20 and breezy at times. Sunny in mid-teens Thursday. We're at 18 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. It's all right. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Schwabba.
That's me. Not into that uppercase kind of stuff. I'm a lowercase kind of guy. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you here on this Tuesday night edition of our show, which is unlike any other night of the week. We really bring it on a Tuesday, and we try not to make it feel like it's a Tuesday, even though it's a Tuesday. So welcome. Wherever you're joining us from in our wonderful state here in Wisconsin, it's great to have you. Whether you're joining us on the stream or the radio or the app, they're all great ways to access Nightlight. And I'm going to say right now, Conrad, so be ready. I don't usually do this because we get so many texts. I heard Aaron say it the other night, and I realized, yeah, I should tell people the phone lines are open. We do have multiple phone lines as of a couple of months ago. Sometimes I forget that. And they're fine phone lines.
We do have phone lines. Yes, we do.
They're wonderful phone lines. I encourage you to use them, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you're thinking throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you guys and text as well. Either way works. Conrad, how can people watch Nightlight on the radio?
Yeah, of course, we're on WGBW, WISS, and Nightlight with Pete Schwab on Facebook. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW, and on Twitter or X, Civic Media or WGBW.
You said Twitter or X.
Whichever they prefer to call it.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it is fine. You know, I've been reading so much. The Super Bowl halftime show is still in the news. I almost introduced myself as Kendrick Lamar. I almost had a slip up, and then I realized, wait a minute, I'm not him. I'm a radio host. It's funny. What was the thing Chris Casper sent you? Chris Casper, one of our chums here at Civic Media, sent you. What was that? I'm going to look for it. Oh, it says, we can't confirm this or we can.
Well, it says, he said we'd fact check it first, and I didn't fact check the whole thing, just half of it.
Okay. But it says Roc Nation Jay-Z owns the rights to the halftime shows until 2030. It's no accident that Kendrick Lamar was the halftime show. It's also no accident that there were no white people on the stage at the halftime show during Black History Month. That might be the part we have to fact check. But are these Casper's words? He's saying, I'm all about that. I love the message.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no bigger stage that exists to promote such a message. I know Chris is a huge music fan. It says, this is the first year that I can remember that the halftime show wasn't about entertainment. It was about the message. Good stuff. It's interesting because I've been reading a lot about that message and more into this feud between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. And that is who he took a big shot at during the show. And I have to say, John Egan, who is a friend of the show, he's been on the show a few times, and he did a fundraiser in Marinette a couple weeks ago for me, a local football fundraiser. John crushed, as did Johnny Beaner and Jessica Phillips, our other Nightlight friends. But John went to Facebook assuming there would be controversy right after the halftime show, and his post said, No one cares that you didn't like that. Oh, that cracked me up. And it's true. I immediately went to Facebook. It's kind of sad. Like, I wanted to check in with mostly people that live locally where I live. I knew, you know, I just knew certain people were going to have an issue with it. So I had to check. But it was John Egan's post that really got me going because I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, if you have a predisposition to not like something. But then when you really do listen to the words, like, I wasn't familiar with this song of Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, which is
yeah.
just really aimed at Drake, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really biting.
Well, when that song was released, it was actually where they had traded off songs.
Right.
And Drake had a song, you know, before that, but that wasn't Emmy nominated or Grammy, sorry, Grammy nominated.
Right.
So it just makes you wonder.
But he calls him in the song, he calls him a pedophile.
Yep. Yep.
Like, they're not pulling any punches. And it was funny too, though, when last night during the show, Mike Clemens was on and I asked him if he saw. This was amazing to me. This was the halftime. I know the president was at the game. There were tons of huge athletes there and celebrities. But there had to be 20 people around Kendrick Lamar. And the security guys were shouting at the halftime crew to get out of the way. And Michael Strahan looked freaked out. Like, it made me think like there was some sort of nefarious message that they received or something. Because they were getting him off the field like he was the president. And he's only like, he looks like he's about 5'4". He's not a big guy.
He's not tall. He is not.
He's got that cool fat. I could never pull off those bell bottoms. I wouldn't try.
I think you should bring him to the studio, you know, those bell bottoms tomorrow.
Who's to say I'm not wearing them right now? That's the beautiful thing about radio. Only the top half of me is on the screen. So you just never know. That reminds me of a great Seinfeld joke that he used to do where he said, what is with this guy, Jim McKay, who was a big CBS or ABC sports personality in the 70s and 80s. He's like, is he a real guy or is he like a Muppet? Like, no one's ever seen his legs because he's always sitting at a desk. And it reminded me, I have not heard the name Jim McKay in so long until I watched the film September 5 over the weekend, which is about the massacre in Munich. Such a horrible story from 1972. The Olympic Games were in Munich, Germany. And the entire Israeli team, I believe, was wiped out. It was like 8 guys taken out by terrorists. And this movie, it's like an hour and a half long. It's called September 5. There's not a huge cast in terms of A-listers, but it's so good. It moves fast. It shows you what kind of a position the sports crew was put into in Munich when ABC News wanted to take the story away and say, we're covering this. This is too big for a sports crew to cover. And a young Rune Arledge said, nope, we're here. We're covering it. And they kept the story and they did really good work. And you recognize some of the names. They went up through the ranks in TV broadcasting as the years went on, but really solid movie. Did I talk about this last night? I was still delirious. I was barely.
You did not?
Okay. I highly recommend it. September 5. It's not Oscar nominated for anything that I'm aware of, but I can pretty much guarantee you'll like it. A really good cast, a really good story, and a great newsroom drama, which I don't think there are enough of. So that's that. All right. So as I mentioned last night, and I asked Heather Heil this when she was here, we are past the holidays. We are past the Super Bowl. There is not a whole lot going on between now and summer. And that brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? We have all this downtime now. I think for me, it's the Oscars. I am really curious to see who wins this year when it comes to the best picture. But what are you most looking forward to between now and summer? There's a few things. You got the NCAA tournament. You got the Oscars. You got spring break. April Fool's Day. If you're that much of a knucklehead, you can't wait to play jokes on your friends. I get it. Maybe, what's the Memorial Day, I guess? That's a good weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of far away, though. So what are you going to do to get through winter? What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? What about you, Ken?
Well, you took it right out of my mouth. March Madness is my favorite time of the year.
Okay.
So
that's the basketball thing?
Yeah, that's the little tournament that goes on in March. Just a little tournament. It's not that popular, you know.
Listen, it is probably, seriously, I know that the Super Bowl's great, but the Super Bowl's one game, and it can suck, like it did.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't. But March Madness, even when the tournament sucks, there are five incredible games minimum.
It's amazing just to... I remember being in high school and sneaking my phone in and just having like eight games on my phone.
Yeah.
It's me like, you know, pretending the phone's not there. It's just the best time of year. I just love being able to watch that many games at one time.
it's a thrill. It's great drama. It's a story you can't write the ending to.
Yeah.
And that's why I like sports.
You never know what's going to happen.
You really don't. Same with a car chase or a bad haircut. You just don't know how things are going to turn out. Conrad sit in his classroom and would watch the games. I hope your parents are listening. What's that cheering coming from your phone, Conrad? Oh, that's I bring my own fanfare everywhere I go.
Accidentally turn the volume on once, and then my phone got taken away. So
that's not so bad. You shouldn't have had your phone on in school, or you shouldn't even had it on your person. They don't let kids do that now, which I think is good.
Well, I mean, they have laptops and everything, you know, for the other stuff. When I was in high school, we didn't get laptops or anything. We had to go to computers, you know. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? You're already that guy. When I was in high school.
it was 7 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it's actually a while ago.
It's a half a generation.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that goes quickly. Hey, we have a really fun show for you guys tonight. At 6:35, Mark Motorson will be here. He is a retired Appleton PD detective who is also a sitting board member at the Appleton Historical Society. He does great work there. Mark is going to be here to discuss an event they have coming up at the Appleton Historical Society this Thursday, a true crime event. And who better to host it than a retired detective? He'll be here in studio answering our questions. And, you know, if you guys have a question for the retired Mark Motorson, you can call in or text as well. Be great to hear from you. Be part of the show. Also at 7:20, our old pal Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic, joins us to talk about all the movies we haven't seen yet that he's seen. I finally felt like I was making headway. Like I've only got three Best Picture films to go, and I will have seen all 10. And Rob's just so far ahead of me, but we'll get his take on. I know he's seen Paddington in Peru. Have you seen the Paddingtons?
I know it's a beautiful film.
I'm talking about like they're like neighbors or something. Yeah, right. I only know that from the Nicolas Cage film,
yeah,
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So, but it did make me want to see Paddington, but there's a new one out. Rob has seen it. We'll talk to Rob about that. And he's going to let us know what's going on for Valentine's Day in Madison, because he is also the City Cast Madison newsletter editor. So two great guests, Mark and Rob, will be along. We'll be taking your calls and your texts all night. Our question, what are you most looking forward to between now and summer? It's a lot of dead time, a lot of cold months, folks. What are you looking forward to get you through it? This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go!
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a five-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
From the 920, Annie in Watertown says, spring. Yeah, it's a great one, Annie. I hope we have a spring. I hope it's like one of those great where it just kind of gradually warms up and then you see the trees blooming and the flowers. It's not one of those springs where it's like, oh, it's 10 below and now it's 50. Ideally, that would be great. But yeah, that's a very straightforward answer. Thank you, Annie. I said last night we would read the text we did not get to last night, tonight. So let's do that. Our question was, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Do you want to amend your answer from last night, Conrad? Are you sticking with what you went with, you and your dad?
I got to stay with my dad. I got to stay the same as my dad. I really liked that commercial.
Keep it about the family. Yeah, it was a good commercial.
It reminded me of, you know, the old, like, 2000, like, 13 commercials for Budweiser, you know, the good ones that they had.
Is that kind of a consensus or was a drop off? Like
just for Budweiser when they stopped doing the horses, I got angry.
When I was a kid, this didn't happen to me, but two friends of mine were leaving church one day. I was at a different mass that day, but they were leaving and they said that the organist forgot the music to play people out of the church. So they started playing "When You Say Bud." Da, 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 da. They were playing the Budweiser song to get people out of church. Which I think
that's
is pretty
great.
Cool.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Although that might make them want to stick around and have a beer. Bridget last night, she's in the 818, says, I liked the Lay's potato chip commercial where the little girl grew the potato and then they turned it into chips. I don't remember that one. Good storytelling, she adds. I also liked the real people sending in selfies in the Taco Bell commercial. I don't think I saw that one either.
I don't remember those.
It's like people send in selfies. This is before I eat Taco Bell and this is after when my
I don't think we want
face
to see
is
that.
Really red and I've put on 5 pounds in one meal. Bridget adds, it is a sign of the times that people can be part of the story. Ah, very well said. Thank you, Bridget. Anna in Madison, that's the 608. She says, welcome back, Pete. You and Jane were talking about reality shows. Did you know that Alec and Hilaria, I think I'm saying that right, reality show starts on TLC on February 23rd? I did not know that, Anna. And I wonder if they'll go into the whole Rust controversy. I know they have like 7 kids.
Oh, yeah. I did see something about that the other day. And I'm like, just why, though? Why do you need a
why are they having a show? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Why?
Well, he's kind of a weird dude, you know? I mean, and that can make for interesting television, I guess. I don't know.
They should just make a podcast because there's not enough, you know? There's not enough podcasts.
There's not enough podcasts. We need more podcasts. And we need more television, too, apparently. Steady Eddie from the 608. He says, Pete, glad you didn't die and are feeling better. Well, thank you, Steady Eddie. I appreciate that. He says the NFL goes out with a dud and a whimper. I took a snooze at halftime and missed the halftime show and most of the commercials. Was I dreaming when I saw Seal turned into a seal? I don't know, Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie's post-football season prediction. He predicts that Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce will soon announce his retirement from the NFL. He has looked old and slow this year. I think a lot of people think that. Steady Eddie continues, Travis Kelce will then announce he has married Taylor Swift and will from now on demand to be known as the first gentleman of pop, Mr. Taylor Swift. Steady Eddie. keep those texts coming, folks. We just ran out of time last day. We had so much fun talking to Mike Clemens, and it sounded like he had a blast in New Orleans, and he had great stories. So we ran out of time, but thank you for sticking with us and sending those texts anyway. We always get to your texts, even if for some reason we run out of time, we'll get to them the next day. Tom and Jackson, that's in the 414. He says, hi, guys. I tried calling. After a while, it cut off, so I am texting. Right after I plug the phone lines.
The phone lines are
having phone line issues?
They're open.
They're open. But are they working? Are they?
They're open and good.
We do. Our phones can be finicky, but when we, what happens, Conrad? We restart it and then it works?
It's all good now.
Okay. Conrad got the tools out of the car. We are off to the races. The phones are working, peeps. But Tom says, I tried calling after a while. It cut off, so I'm texting. I am wondering if you will be having Mary Mack on anytime soon. Also, Pete has one of the best radio voices on Civic Media. Glad to hear you were feeling better. Well, thanks, Tom. That's very nice of you to say. It's funny you say that about Mary Mack because she was supposed to do our popcorn pick of the week last Thursday, but I was sick, and I think we put Conrad put a best of together, and we aired that instead. We're trying to get Mary Mack rebooked. She's great, and we can't wait to have her on again. So ideally, it will be to make the popcorn pick of the week because I think she would have a lot of fun with that, but just having her on the show is great. And obviously, we will keep you posted. And thank you for the nice words, Tom, very much. From the 920, between now and summer, definitely looking forward to the Door County and Wisconsin Film Festivals, the NFL Draft in Green Bay, and unrelated to those three, some quality protests when the weather gets nicer. Kurt Krause. Kurt's been on the show.
He also said on the stream some very nice phone lines.
Oh, he did? Very fine phone.
Very
lines.
Fine phone.
Is he being sarcastic?
No, that was when you were plugging it at the beginning of the show.
I thought Kurt was dissing our phone lines. Only I can do that. I'm just kidding. Good to hear from you, Kurt. Thank you, buddy. From the 608, Melissa in Madison says, film festival, duh. Okay, Melissa. Wow. Kind of an escalation there from Melissa. yeah, film festivals are great, Melissa. So I hope whatever one you are attending is a winner because they are all so much fun. And I agree with you. That is a great, and Wisconsin has great film festivals all over the state. And I think at least two or three of them in the spring. I know Wisconsin is the big one, probably in April. Door County is this weekend. Speaking of Kurt Krause, we had Kurt and Chris Opper on. And I want to say Beloit is coming up. I'm not sure. From the 608, Ed from Madison says, lots of local theater in Madison and Milwaukee. That is a great answer. And that's the way to do it. Like, to me, when you live in a winter-heavy state or a state that has mostly cold months like we do, you have to go see either movies, live theater. You got to have those fun indoor activities. That is if you're not a snowmobiler, ice fisher. Those are all fine activities as well. Keep those texts coming and calls. We have a couple more on the stream. We'll get to soon. Craig, sit tight. I see your text. I see you, buddy. He says he's looking forward to the Captain America movie. I think I can get this in. He says, I'm also looking forward to this weekend's Door County Film Festival, as we just mentioned. I was lucky enough to be part of three of the movies connected to this year's showing. So it's the Craig Anthony Kinnett Film Festival is what it should be, probably what it should be called. All right, we're coming back. After the news, Civic Media's news team works hard to keep you informed. After they do that, we'll be back with retired Appleton police officer Mark Motorson, who's going to tell us about a true crime event in Appleton this Thursday. This is Peach Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Last week, the State Assembly's Education Committee heard public comment on bills relating to curriculum, assessment programs, and school board spending. Brittany Merlo has more.
Assembly Bill 3 requires incorporating cursive writing into the state standard for English language art classes. It would require cursive to be taught in the elementary grades in all public, private, and charter schools. Right now, only some schools in Wisconsin teach cursive. It's not a requirement, and it's up to the school district's discretion. Those in favor of the bill said writing in cursive promotes a number of cognitive benefits, like enhancing motor skills, memory, and creativity. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley is against the bill, as is the Wisconsin Association of School Boards.
Assembly Bill 4 would require civics to be implemented in school curriculum in both public and private schools.
They want to teach students about their rights and responsibilities in both Wisconsin and the United States. Also, the process of advocating before government bodies and officials, and knowledge of other nations' government philosophies, like communism and socialism as it compares to democracy. High school students are already required by law to earn a certain number of credits to graduate, and this includes at least 3 credits of social studies. They also need to pass a civics test similar to that of the U.S. citizenship test.
Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Division of Motor Vehicles, reminds you to check and be sure that you have the proper identification needed to vote in the spring primary election next week. Wisconsin driver licenses, or IDs, are the most common form of identification used for voting purposes. A federally compliant real ID card is not required to show at the polls. The Wisconsin Elections Commission notes other forms of identification are valid for voting, such as military or student ID cards. To see if a card meets the requirements, visit the Wisconsin Elections Commission website.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dog Man, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number 2 and 3 from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number 4 with just under $4 million in its 8th week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top 5 is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its 2nd week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. Winter weather advisory tomorrow and tomorrow night for snow showers, total accumulations of 3 to 6 inches. A high tomorrow near 20 and breezy at times. Sunny in mid-teens Thursday. We're at 18 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding a unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the next show, we'll talk with Flack and the campaign for lead-free water before discussing immigration in the city of Milwaukee with Mayor Cavalier Johnson and getting organized with Dr. Robert Craig.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Welcome back. Our question tonight, What are you doing? What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? All the big stuff is done. The holidays, the Super Bowl. We got a long way to go here, folks, till summer. What are you most looking forward to? What's going to help you get through the winter? That is tonight's question. And we've got some great texts. Feel free to text or call 855-752-4842. We will get to some more of your texts shortly. Rob Thomas is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk movies with Rob and some St. Valentine's Day activities happening in Madison this weekend. Rob writes about those. He is also the, in addition to being a very fine film critic in Madison, he is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. So he's got his finger on the pulse. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time former Appleton PD detective and board member of the Appleton Historical Society, Mark Motorson. Mark, hi.
Thanks for inviting me, Peter.
It's great to have you here. Did you find the place okay?
Yes, my son brought me up here and dropped me off. So
is this the son that I confuse you with that is also a police officer?
Well, our son, Mark Jr., retired in January of last year.
Okay.
From the Appleton Police Department.
And he drove you up here?
He drove me up here.
Where is he now?
He went to Fleet Farm.
Oh, okay. So you just ran an errand?
You just ran an errand.
Do you have a curfew? Do you have to be done at a certain time, Mark?
I do not.
Okay, good. He's welcome to join us, too. It'd be nice to have two police officers. Sometimes you need backup, even if you're on the radio,
That's
right?
That's true.
Okay. Well, tell us about, this is a really cool event. I saw this when I was just kind of combing through the newspapers. It's True Crime Appleton Crime Stories. It's this Thursday, February 13th, from 5 to 7 at the Appleton Historical Society. And you're the main man. Tell us about it, Mark.
Well, one of the board members actually mentioned it to me. I was starting to tell him some of the stories when I was on the police department, and they said, well, how about if you tell those stories on our Thursday night presentation series? So I said, sure, I'd be willing to do that. So I've got a number of them that I wrote down.
So you're going to share these stories Thursday night. That's pretty much what it is you telling true crime stories that you really experienced.
And these are kind of old ones. I mean, these are back from the, you know, probably the 1970s, 1980s.
See, I find those kind of more fascinating when you didn't quite have the technology that we have now. And I know you've been retired a while, but were those cases comparatively harder to solve because you didn't have DNA or some of the modern technology, or were they easier somehow?
They were a lot harder. And like fingerprints, you had to know your suspect's name to match up fingerprints.
Wow.
You know, now they have what they call APHIS, where it's automated computer machine.
Yeah.
Where everybody's fingerprints go into that computer. But back then, you had to know who your suspect was to match those prints up.
So you could pull the print from the scene, but then you'd have to, it wouldn't do you any good.
You had to have a name.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right. Pardon me. So tell me, if people come out Thursday, what will the evening be like? Do you get introduced? Is there a moderator? And then do people get to ask you questions, or do you just start in with the stories?
I think I'll just start with the stories, and, okay. And at the end they can ask me some questions.
Oh, that's great.
Some of the stories are going to be fairly short, you know, just things that kind of stood out.
Yeah.
And there are some larger cases I work that I really don't want to talk about.
Really? But will you?
I will not.
You will not. No. You just won't go there. Okay.
I won't go there.
Interesting. So let me ask you this, Mark. My daughter kind of got me into true crime a couple of years ago, and it was something we would do. And I was kind of, it's amazing how, and I'm sure you can relate to this being an actual police officer, but how you get desensitized. Like, I would watch true crime stuff, and I'm like, I can't watch that. It's about a kid. Well, 5 years later, I'm watching everything. I'm just so, it's still horrifying, but it's really fascinating how police solve cases. And is that typically what you think people want to hear when they come to see a talk like you give, what your process was? Or are they more interested in the bad guys?
I don't know, because I've never done it before.
Oh, you've never done this before?
Okay. I have not.
Okay.
No.
Well, you should.
It'll be my first time.
All right. Well, let us know how it goes.
All right, I will.
All right, Conrad, this is 5 to 7. Should we send a crew there?
I mean, if you can produce and do the show, I can go out there.
The talk actually is going to start at about 6:30.
Okay.
So it might run till like 7 or 7:30.
Hmm.
So you just have to produce. I'll run out. I'll come back and let you know how it goes.
We don't have our own crew, Mark, to cover these kind of things, unfortunately. So we'll just have to have you back on the show, I guess, and find out how it went. What is the difference between crime and true crime? For some reason, the term true crime became this huge thing. and everybody calls it true crime. Why do we call it that and not just crime stories?
And I don't know, because I didn't come up with that term. One of our board members did.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's all over the place. I mean, do you like to watch that stuff on TV?
You know, the one I've been watching lately actually is the FBI Files.
Okay.
I hadn't seen that until up like a month ago, and I love that show.
What is that? Do you know what that's on or what platform is that?
I do not.
Okay.
It's FBI called FBI Files. Files.
Why do you like, is it realistic or is it?
It's they recreate a lot of the crime, major crimes that went on that the FBI investigated back in the probably the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Okay. Wow, that's great. All right. So can you give us a little teaser of something you might start off with on Thursday night?
Well, you know, I guess I have to go back and talk about when I was hired on the police department, which everybody that was hired back then were usually high school graduates, which I was.
Yeah.
No college, but a lot of us just came out of the military.
Okay.
And I had just come out of the Air Force a few months earlier. And so you're hired as a beat walker. So you walk beat in Appling. We had three beats downtown. And the west end of College Avenue for three blocks was a bad area. We had to have two guys walking together because in those three blocks, there was probably 10 bars. Hmm. We had 18-year-old beer bars and 21-year-old liquor bars. All these young kids got out at the same time. And so a lot of times you could not even drive a squad car through that area.
Really?
When they got out because there was beer bottles being thrown at your squad cars. And the police were all called pigs because you also had the Vietnam War going on.
Oh, right.
And so there was a lot of bad stuff going on around, bad feelings at that time.
So when you say walk the beat, did you actually walk? Were you guys walking, casing the neighborhood on foot?
Like Wisconsin Avenue was like our second major street. Had a lot of businesses on it. We had two beats on there, and each beat was a mile and a half long, plus about a block or two on each side of Wisconsin Avenue. Our job was to check all the doors and windows, so you had to constantly walk all night.
Wow, good way to get your
stuff. In downtown, we had three beats. Those were shorter beats, but they ran north of College Avenue. College Avenue is our main street, and the beats would probably go four or five blocks on one side and maybe two blocks on the other, depending on how many businesses lined that area.
No kidding.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the things that I came upon.
Yeah, please.
So one day I was ready to get off work about 4 o'clock in the morning, and a delivery driver from Quaker Dairy came in, running in, and he said he just came to work about 4 o'clock, and there were two men huddled in this store under a tarp with an acetylene torch or torching the safe. So a number of us went over there, and everything was still set up. The torch was running, but they were gone. About maybe a month later, I was walking beat in that area, and I was on the east side of the Quaker Dairy store, and the back of it runs along the railroad tracks. And I looked down to the other side of the block, and I saw a man there, and he saw me, and he ran towards the front of the store. So I ran along the front of the building down to the next block to chase him, and he was gone when I got there. I called in, squads arrived, we couldn't find him. When I was standing there, I heard a noise behind me. I looked back, and another man had just jumped out of the second story of the building, and he took off running the other way.
Huh.
We didn't find him either. The next morning, somebody called in and said they found a bag of tools by the railroad tracks. A detective told me that this was a burglary gang, and that the police had an informant in the gang. And the informant told the detective that the man in the second story had a gun on me when I ran underneath the building, underneath his window. And if he thought I was going to catch his partner, he was going to shoot me. And he said these guys carry guns a lot. So about maybe a month or two later, we found out that the informant had told the detectives that these burglars were going to break into a school in Appling. So the detectives had men in the school. And when the two men broke in, they were crouched by a hallway. And one of them looked like they was carrying a long-barreled gun. And the detectives yelled out for them to put their hands up. And they didn't. And the captain of detectives fired two shots, killed one of the burglars, and wounded the other one.
In a school?
In a school.
And what year would this be, Mark?
That would have been probably in the early 70s.
No kidding. Wow.
And it was not a gun that they were carrying. It was a pry bar. But
okay.
But the police thought it was a gun.
Sure.
Because the informant has said that they carried guns a lot of times.
What? That is that normal for like a robbery crew to be willing to become violent like that?
It's not normal, but you never know.
You
nowadays,
never know.
It's probably
yeah.
more normal.
Yeah,
I
right.
I think there's more people carrying guns nowadays. But they found out later that a businessman in Applin was the one that was bringing these burgers in from out of state. I think they were coming in from, not out of state, but out of the area. I think they were from Madison or Milwaukee.
Okay.
And they were older. These guys were in their 40s, which is kind of unusual for burglars. But this businessman was setting up businesses in Applin that he thought might be have money in. The Quaker Dairy store they were burglarizing was probably the most burglarized store in Applin because the store carried a lot of cash in their safe because they sold milk and they sold ice cream and different products.
Okay.
And so they got a lot of cash in.
Wow. So is that the story you're going to open with on Thursday?
That's probably the one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And it puts you right in the epicenter of it too, which is great. My guest is Mark Motorson. He's a retired Appleton PD detective, and he is a current member of the Appleton Historical Society Board. And do you do podcasts too?
I've been on a number of radio stations, but I've never done a podcast.
Not your own. Okay. Gotcha. No. Okay. So talk about walking the beat, Mark. Do police officers still see that? I really don't ever see that anymore, I don't think.
Appleton, I think, has some daytime ones once in a while.
Okay.
But, back in the day, we had most of them were nighttime beat walkers. But then we had our beats at years ago was 8 at night till 4 in the morning. And then we had some beats that were 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon and 10 in the morning till 6 at night. But those were usually like one beat.
Okay.
We had a lot of nighttime ones.
Did you feel, at night, walking the beat, did you feel more exposed, or is it something you didn't think about because that's what police officers did then?
Well, you walked all around the buildings, too, so you're walking alleys at 3 or 4 in the morning by yourself. But
wow.
And the radios weren't that great back then.
Yeah.
When you were a beat walker, you also drove squads sometimes. So one night I was driving squad, and I heard a radio call come in. This was about, about 11 o'clock at night, that somebody just held up a gas station with a shotgun on Wisconsin Avenue. So I was on the south side of Applin, and it was the getaway vehicle was a 69 Blue Chevelle. So I drove over to east of the College Avenue Bridge on a one-way, on a one-block street, and I parked there. About 5 minutes later, a blue 69 Chevelle came across the bridge towards me. And I followed it, and it pulled into a driveway about 8 blocks later. I pulled up behind it, and the young man got out, and he said, what's the problem? And I said, well, a vehicle described as yours just was involved in an armed robbery. I said, do you mind if I look in your car? And he kind of hesitantly said, no, go ahead. So I walked up to the driver's door, looked in, and here was a shotgun laying in the front seat.
Whoa. Wow.
And so the young man, I handcuffed him and searched him, and he had a big butcher knife stuck down the back of his belt, by his back. And he said, the money's in the glove compartment. And later when I talked to him, I said, why'd you rob the gas station? I needed money for a car payment. I said, how much did you need? He said, $69. I said, you only got $23 from the gas station. I said, what would you have done then? He said, robbed another gas station. But his departing words were, this was in October. He says, does this mean I can't go deer hunting next month? And I said, no, you can't go deer hunting.
He should have sold the son or the knife or the gun. He might have got more than. My guest is Mark Motorson. We'll be right back with more true crime stories with our guest here at Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba and the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a 5-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
From the 920, Joshua in Wausau says, don't usually get to message. I usually hear your show at 4 a.m. Replay. Okay, nothing wrong with that, Joshua. Thanks for listening even then. He says, but I'm looking forward to going snowshoeing now that we have snow. Yeah, I know winter people are very excited about this most recent snowfall. And it was fun to look out the window the other day and see other people partaking in all these outdoor activities I have no interest in. But good for you, Joshua. And thank you for the text. I appreciate you listening. Even if it's at 4 a.m, it's good to have yours on the show. My guest in studio here is Mark Motorson. He's a retired Appleton police detective, and he is a board member at the Appleton Historical Society. And he's hosting an event, or he's the subject of an event, this Thursday from 5 to 7, February 13th, called Appleton, True Appleton Crime Stories. He is with us in the studio right now, and we're happy to have him. Mark, we were just talking during the break about how I was saying when I was a kid, even in the city of Chicago, and the police officers would, when they would come to the school, would say, we never draw our guns. We just don't. It's not like on TV and all that. And you said in your almost 29-year career, you never fired your weapon, but you pulled it 4 or 5 times. What would constitute that? Like, what would get you to draw your weapon when you felt at risk or when someone else was at risk? Or would you?
Well, if we thought the person was armed,
okay,
you know, we're going to naturally have our weapons drawn. But there's more violent crime now than before.
Really?
Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Well, and I've noticed that even in where I live in Marinette, the police have like armored. It's like they drive around in little tanks and have body armor and all this. So I wondered if it was a lot more dangerous now, or if it's just they have access to that. So why not take the precaution, right?
Well, I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, we didn't have a SWAT team, or at least in the 70s for sure. I don't remember when we first got our SWAT team, but when I was hired, most of our squads didn't have shotguns. The officers bought their own shotguns.
Their own. Wow.
The shotgun I carried in my squad car, I used for deer hunting.
I don't know that the police in Marinette, I don't know that we have a SWAT team there either. I'm just saying they look like they're very well equipped in terms of their own protection and arms that they carry around. So it would And Marinette is a town of maybe 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, but is Appleton, like, have you lived there your whole life?
I have, yes.
Okay. You feel like it's a pretty safe town. It's got a great reputation.
I think it's very safe. I always told people that I think Appleton has a lot better class of criminals.
But criminals nonetheless.
Yeah.
Probably helped that you were there, too. Is there a case that you had that you found more interesting than others, or that gave you fits, or one that you can talk about that you might share Thursday night?
Well, I mean, there's a few cases that I never solved, which you always think about.
Yeah.
One of them that was called a bust out, where a man came to Appleton and opened a checking account and then went out and used his checks to buy small items at stores, and the checks were always good. And then he was in Appleton for about a year. And then on a holiday weekend, when he went out to a lot of these stores, there was some jewelry stores and stores that sold like wash machines and different kinds of stores. He'd always spend, you know, small amounts of money with a check and got to know the managers pretty good. Would make his way to make sure he knew the managers by name and they knew him. Then on a holiday weekend, he went back to these stores and bought large items for large amounts of checks. He had a rental truck. He loaded everything into his rental truck and then took off. And all the checks bounced. And there was probably, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of items that he bought. And they eventually found the rental truck actually at an airport in Chicago. But we never solved the case.
Really? Now, that might be something that would, A, be a lot harder to pull off now, right? If you're the criminal. And probably easier to solve if you're the police nowadays, just with what they have access to?
I would say it's going to be easier to solve nowadays. Because there's more surveillance cameras. You have pictures. There wasn't that kind of stuff around back then.
We have to do the news soon, and I want to ask you about when we come back after the news, I want to ask you about what your favorite part of police work was. You walked the beat. You said you worked in narcotics or drugs for a while. I want to ask you when we come back what your favorite part of that was. And the mix up, I'm still cracking up because the questions I had for you, you know, you said, that's not me, that's my son. When I said, oh, your son won this award. Tell us about the award he won. That was a great story.
Well, our son, Mark Jr., was a police officer in Appleton Police Department. He retired a year ago, January. And I think about 3 or 4 years ago, he got called to a burglary of a house, and he talked to the victims and took their report. And as part of your investigation, you go door to door to the neighborhood asking if they saw anything. And I think he was about a block away when he knocked on this woman's house door, and he heard a little noise, but he wasn't sure what it sounded like, a cat. And he knocked a few more times, and he thought it was a cat meowing. And he started listening more and more, and after a while he heard a real soft voice saying, help, help. And eventually they called the fire department. They got into the house, and they found an elderly woman laying on the living room floor that had fallen 4 days earlier, and she laid there for 4 days. And they said later, after he took her to the hospital, the doctor said later that she was very near death.
That must make you feel great as a cop, I would imagine, like when you're actually serving people and saving someone's life. That's
right,
so great. So he comes from good stock, obviously. So we're going to do the news. We'll come back, Mark, and I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about Thursday night and your work, and then we'll let you get out of here because I know your son's probably going to be swinging back by to pick you up. All right. Mark Motorson is here. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Rob Thomas coming up at 7:20, and we will read more of your texts after the news. And Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legalities and illegalities of the first couple weeks of the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here, and Dan Schaefer in hour number two to recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Well, it is February, and a treacherous mix of snow, freezing rain, and ice from a sprawling winter storm is wreaking havoc across much of the country.
Whiteout conditions in Virginia, up to a foot of snow in spots. Multiple tractor trailers stranded along Interstates 81 and 64 near Stanton. The governor declaring a state of emergency. Traffic cameras on I-95 showing multiple accidents near Richmond. Virginia State Police reporting more than two dozen injuries across the state. Snowfall rates of an inch an hour in the nation's capital. Schools and federal offices shutting down early. And up to an inch of ice weighing down trees across northwest Arkansas.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Russia released English teacher Mark Fogel, detained since August of 2021. California's insurance department says the plan that covers homeowners who can't get private coverage needs $1 billion to pay out wildfire claims. This is ABC News.
Using